Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Thanks for joining us for our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen. I was born and raised in a polygamy group, and we're here to talk about polygamy. We do want everyone who may be watching the show tonight who has been or is in a polygamy group, we want you to know God does not require polygamy for salvation, and I know that's what we're taught when we're born and raised in a group like that. We're broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is a telephone call-in program. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We would appreciate hearing from you tonight after you've heard what we have to talk about. We also have an email address if you would prefer to communicate by email. It's tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we would like to hear from you. You can go onto our website, whatloveisthis.tv. We have all of our previous programs on streaming video at that website. If you know someone who is unable to receive our program on or through their television set, they can go on to that website and watch all of our programs on streaming video there. Previous episodes of our program are also available on DVD, which you'll be able to find out how to order them on that website. For more information about how we can help anyone who is in a polygamy group and perhaps you want out, or someone who has been in a group and you just have some issues that you would like to deal with or talk about, you can go to our website, childrenrefuge.org, and learn about us and find information about us and give us a call if you feel like that we could help you. Our toll-free number is 877-425-9993. If you are someone that you know is being abused or being forced into something that you don't want to do, please remember you can always call 911 if it's an emergency, but you can also call our toll-free number and we would be happy to help you. Every month we have a discussion group for people who have been or are currently in polygamy. We call it our Life After Polygamy Discussion Group. We meet once a month at 6:30 on the third Monday of each month. And you are invited to come if you feel like this is something that would help you or benefit you. We'd love to have you come. Our next meeting is going to be June 15th, and you can just give us a call or email us for details of where that group is going to be. And we also have the Lifting the Veil of Polygamy DVD available to anyone who is in or has been in a polygamy group. We will send that to you absolutely free, no strings attached. Just let us know how to get it to you. And perhaps you know someone in a polygamy group who won't ask for it themselves, but you think that it might help them. We will be happy to send it to them. Just tell us how to get it. And or you can go on to the website livinghopeutah.org and watch the entire DVD online in the privacy of your own home. We constantly remind our viewers, as if you've watched the show very often, you know that we constantly remind our viewers to check out everything that they learn about their salvation to see if what they're being taught is true. There are many resources that are readily available for you to do that. And there has been a new resource that has just become available that I thought I would let you know about tonight. It's a book that has just been released, and it's entitled In Their Own Words. It's a collection of Mormon quotations, and it's been compiled by Bill McKeever. Bill McKeever has been on our program a couple of times in the past, and he's going to be on the program again in July. This book is a gold mine of information. If you want to check out some of the quotes that we have on this program or that you might read somewhere else, of the many doctrines and the ideas and even media articles that early Mormons, clear up to the present day Mormons, have said. And in the quotations, they all have their references and their footnotes to verify the authenticity of the particular quote. So I highly recommend this book in your study to discover if what you're being taught is true. You can pick up this book at mrm.org. That's mrm.org or utlm.org. Either of those websites, you can pick up the book and start studying these things for yourselves. Next week, our guest is going to be Ross Anderson. He was here 3 weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, and we studied how we know that we can trust the Bible. And because we only got about halfway through our notes, and people wanted him to come back, our viewers enjoyed the show so much that he has decided to come back next week. And we're going to discuss proper interpretive principles of the Bible, and we're going to talk about, can we or can we not add to the biblical text? So I think you'll find this very interesting. Tonight we want to talk about myth number 10. Now these myths are what people have been told. Most of them are from people who have grown up in the Mormon church and they wondered about polygamy and what they were told about why the early Mormons practiced polygamy or about some of their polygamous practices. This is myth number 10, or 11, excuse me, and this myth is that only the righteous Mormon leaderships were called to or allowed to practice polygamy. Only the righteous people could practice polygamy. They were called to it. Now we're going to bring the truth to bear on this, as we always do, and I want to remind you that polygamy was the lifestyle, it was the culture in the days of early Mormonism here in Utah. Now, when Joseph Smith was murdered, Brigham Young brought the Mormons out west and they settled here in the Salt Lake City, Utah area. Polygamy became the normal. It was the culture, like I said. It was preached from the pulpit. It was taught from Joseph Smith and Brigham Young on that it was required for salvation. Even Section 132, which is the polygamy revelation doctrine, said that it was required for salvation. If you didn't live it, you would be damned. So everyone who desired to go to heaven would be practicing polygamy because they wanted to fulfill the requirements to go there. So polygamy was practiced on a huge percentage basis, contrary to what you've been told. But let's consider this myth that those so-called righteous men were the only ones who were called to practice polygamy. Would you consider John D. Lee to be a righteous man? He was executed for his part, the part that he played in the Mormon Mountain Meadows Massacre. He reportedly had at least 19 wives. What about Wild Bill Hickman? Would you consider him to be a righteous man? In a book entitled Brigham's Destroying Angel, you can read the confessions of Bill Hickman. He claimed that he committed murder by the orders of polygamist Brigham Young and polygamist Orson Hyde, and Wild Bill Hickman himself was a polygamist. And if only the righteous men practiced polygamy, why did Brigham Young preach from the pulpit that polygamy would damn more people than it would ever save because of the unrighteous manner in which they practiced it? Obviously, there were some very unrighteous people practicing polygamy, or he never would have had to preach that sermon. And finally, and most importantly, the Bible says that all who rely upon keeping the law for salvation is under a curse, that keeping any law does not make one righteous before God. So, assuming that plural marriage was God's law, which it wasn't, one could not please God by practicing polygamy anyway, because we are justified by faith, not by the works of the law. Read Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It's very telling if you read the book of Galatians. Anyway, verse 16 in part tells us that knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I'd like you to notice here that it's by the faith of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that Jesus Christ is the focus of all things that has to do with salvation. It isn't man. We're not the focus. It isn't the works of man, what you can do. That isn't the focus either. It isn't the law. It isn't polygamy. And it certainly isn't any church system. It's Jesus Christ alone. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 tells us that as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 tells us, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, what does the word all mean? It says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Therefore, we refute another myth and also present biblical authority that practicing any law, polygamy, or any other so-called law will never serve to justify or to save a single soul. So, another myth. Next time we'll do myth number 12. Now, there is a news article that I really haven't talked much about Winston Blackmore up until this point, although several months ago he was arrested in Canada, British Columbia, Canada, for the practice and charged with the practice of polygamy. And I've kind of just been waiting to see how this develops before I start bringing it up much. But I thought tonight I would bring up, there's a news article, I want to read at least part of it, not all of it, it's too long. And then a letter to the editor that a particular woman wrote in Canada responding to an article regarding polygamy. Winston Blackmore was arrested and charged with polygamy. And this article is from the EdmontonSun.com. And this is what it says. Canada's most notorious polygamist has been charged with having some 25 wives and more than 100 children. He is currently in court fighting the polygamy charges. It's only taken 19 years to get him into a courtroom. According to the Criminal Code of Canada, polygamy is a crime with a potential 5-year jail term. It says many of us are indifferent to polygamy. We say, who cares, when we're dealing with consenting adults. But with polygamy, we're not. In Bountiful, little girls are groomed to aspire not to become doctors or bus drivers or Olympic athletes when they grow up, but to become members of group marriage, often to men old enough to be their grandfathers. And over the years, all 19 of these wives, there have been allegations about girls as young as 12, 13, and 14 being trafficked from fundamental polygamy communities in the United States to Canada and the other way around. Last Friday, we were treated to the spectacle of Winston Blackmore, a former church bishop, asking the British Columbia court to stay the charges against him. These charges, he says, are an abuse of process, manifestly unfair, arbitrary, and involve political interference. His attorney, Blackmore's lawyer, says the charges are contrary to the Charter of Rights, which guarantees freedom of religion. Well, so that's what they wonder what Winston Blackmore's hands are doing in their pockets. Because he says, here's the deal. If the court refuses his bid to stay the charges, he wants the BC government to pay for his legal team. The former millionaire would have us believe he is almost destitute. Moreover, this case, with its constitutional challenges, may well end up in the Supreme Court of Canada, where Blackmore's bills, paid for by the Canadian citizens, could total some $1 million. So polygamy represents a horrifying denial of the rights of girls and women. No Canadian taxpayer should have to pay the foot to defend this practice. Now, what I would like you to do, and I just read part of the article, it was a long one, is I would like you to think about this And I would actually like to ask our viewers some questions, and maybe you would like to weigh in on this. I'm going to read the letter to the editor from a woman by the name of Janice. Then I'm going to ask you some questions and see if you would call in, and let's discuss this issue with Winston Blackmore and polygamy. But first, the letter to the editor from Janice in the Bemidji Pioneer newspaper. She says, I'm writing in regard to the article which asked, what's wrong with polygamy? Polygamy is not a moral issue, as the article suggests, nor is it a religious issue. Polygamy is a question of women's equality rights. Polygamous wives, who in reality are concubines in harems, suffer financially when they marry. They are not entitled to share in their husband's life insurance, his health insurance, his pension, and when he dies, they and their children may not receive an equal share of his estate. Only the first wife legally benefits. Add to that the psychological stress of having to share one man among many women, both for emotional closeness and for sexual relief. The United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women states that polygamy should be abolished because it impoverishes women and also harms their children. Polygamy comes to us from the Dark Ages, when women had no rights and were treated as chattels or possessions. Concubines and harems are disgusting relics from more primitive times, when women were regarded as sexual collectibles, and it is high time that polygamy was dumped into the garbage can of history. Now, I would like some input, if you would. Should polygamy be dumped into the garbage can of history, or shall we put it up on a pedestal as a human legal or religious right? And what about Blackmore? Now remember, this is Canada, not the United States. However, it may be coming here soon. We just haven't seen it tested yet. But I'd like to ask you a question. Is polygamy a human right, a religious right, or an equality right for women and children? Let's weigh in on this. Should Winston Blackmore's charges of polygamy be dropped? And or should the taxpayers in Canada be required to pay the legal bill for a legal team for Winston Blackmore to fight those charges if they don't drop them? So let's open the telephone lines. You can start to call in at 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820, and weigh in on this. Let's discuss this a little bit. What do you think about these news articles? While we're waiting for the phones to start coming in, by the way, I would like to mention we did have several remarks last week from the show, which is not surprising. One of the, I'm not going to read them all. They get to the point to where they're just totally redundant, where, you know, I'm a liar, I'm a deceiver, I'm deceived, I'm a few other expletives, and, you know, enough is enough. I don't need to read each one that comes into you. But I did get an email from Debbie. Actually, I got two from her. One wasn't enough. But in one of them, she got pretty upset because we screen our phone calls. She said that obviously we screen out the Mormons that call in because only 1 in 10 of the calls last week was a Mormon. Well, I'm here to tell you, Debbie, we do not screen out the Mormons. We invite them to call in. And if only 1 in 10, and I would doubt your ratio, but if only 1 in 10 was a Mormon, it's simply because only 1 in 10 of the calls came was a Mormon who called. When I say that we screen our phone calls, I only mean the calls come in, the operators pick up the phone, ask them their name, ask them their telephone number, and ask them what their question is, advise them how the process goes, and puts them on hold until I get to them. That's screening the calls. We do not screen out any calls unless they have some nasty things to say on the air, and of course we will screen those out. But at any rate, some of the calls, if we can get to later on in the program, I might cover them, but some of them I'm not going to. At this point in tonight's show, however, I only want to read a portion of one particular response, and then I would like to kind of get into some biblical polygamy study again. One of our viewers had sent some comments about the Mormon view of salvation by grace as taught in the passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Now, we've talked about these verses in the past couple of weeks, and actually in detail in one of the weeks. And I'm going to remind you of the verses, though, as we do this for the sake of the discussion. Those verses tell us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. And we are saved to do good works. That's what it says, that's a paraphrase of what it says, but basically we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, and we're saved to do good works. His argument on this passage is this. He said that those verses really mean that we cannot contrive our own salvation. Salvation has already been determined and we can't contrive a new one. But in order to be saved, we must obey the laws and ordinances of the gospel. And of course, he's referring to the Mormon gospel, not the biblical gospel. So do you see what he's done? He's taken this simple passage of the beautiful love and grace of God, and he's twisted it to mean something totally different than what God has meant it to be. When I first read that, all I wanted to do was sit there and cry. I'm here to tell you, sir, you don't even have a clue. You can't even fathom what God's grace is all about. Why? Why must you take his beautiful grace and twist it into something that is a works of man? You know, I'm going to be blunt right here, blunter than I normally am, and tell you the way it is in the Bible. God absolutely is not pleased in any way with any work that any sinful human being can ever possibly do to merit salvation. To him, your good works are nasty, dirty, filthy, stinky rags. God will absolutely not accept anyone who works for their salvation. He will reject you. That's the message of the Bible. He has cursed a works salvation. And in Isaiah, which I've already mentioned, chapter 64, verse 6, we are taught, like I said, that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. So on judgment day, are you planning on approaching God with a load of your righteousnesses, with all your filthy rags, and present it to him and ask him to save you based on your righteousnesses that he has cursed? He'll reject you. I'm telling you, I continue to be amazed at the many countless verses in the Bible that teach us about God's salvation by grace through faith by Jesus alone, that are totally put out of the way and ignored just so you can present a twisted version of your work salvation. It won't work. Jesus told us he wants us out from under the bondage of a works salvation. It says in Galatians that it is for freedom that Christ Jesus has set us free, and not to let ourselves be bound again under the bondage. Read the book of Galatians. It's only 6 chapters. And see if you can count how many times we are told that we are saved by grace, we are saved through faith, that works is a curse, and if you're under the works of the law, you will make it. Read it, for heaven's sakes, and see what it says. Salvation by works is Satan's trap. Satan isn't stupid. He knows exactly how to trap you, and it's through the pride of your own good works. And I'm going to paraphrase something Paul said, but basically he said, come on, guys, come to your senses. It's all of grace and none of works. Okay. Oh, my, we've got calls coming in here. Okay. Let's take Molly, line one. Hello, Molly.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hello, Molly. I'm fine. You're on the air.
Oh, great. I just wanted to comment about polygamy. I actually grew up in an LDS family, and I enjoy the faith very much. But I don't know if you've ever heard of Colorado City in Arizona.
Oh yes.
I actually visited down there when I was about 13 years old and got lost. And I actually had a couple of men that came to me and tried to kidnap me.
They couldn't even believe it.
And when my father told me,
What did you say they tried to do? I didn't catch that.
They tried to basically take me away from my family.
Oh, okay.
So it was a frightening experience, and I asked my dad what they were trying to do. And he is a very blunt man. His father was a Methodist, and his mother was raised LDS. And so he's kind of got both sides, you know, the logic and not so much. But anyway, so I believe that with polygamy, that it is a disgusting thing. And I believe that the charges should not be dropped. And the people of Canada, if they know what polygamy is and how sick it is, that I would pay money to get those men put in jail and hopefully get some counseling, get something. They do not deserve to go back to their quote-unquote way of life. It doesn't matter if it's religious. There are religions in Africa where it's a priest would, have sexual relations with a small child, and it would cure them of any disease. It doesn't matter. There are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. Polygamy is wrong. It should have never been started, and that is one thing that I do question about my religion, and there are several things I question about the LDS faith.
Good. Keep on checking it out. Test it all, Molly. If you need any help, let us know. We'll be happy to help you.
Absolutely, and I really enjoy it. This is the first time I've watched your program, and I really enjoy it.
Well, good. I'm glad you tuned in. You know, I did my own study on biblical polygamy because I questioned it. I was born and raised in a polygamy group, and I questioned it, and so I did my own studies, and I was delightfully surprised to discover that it is not required at all. God never did require polygamy, and that's a good way to find out. Get in the Bible and read it.
I will do that, you know, and I believe there's questioning everything that you were taught, because that's how
yes.
we grow as people. And so I really appreciate you having your own program and, you know, being able to speak your mind. That's what's so great about this country, is that we're able to say what we feel, and I really appreciate you doing that. That's very brave of you, especially
you.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Amen to that. Thank you, Molly.
So you don't get a lot of hate calls, but
well,
I enjoyed it.
All right, thanks. Good night. Okay, Ken from Ogden. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Are you calling in and asking where we stand on polygamy or give our opinion? And I just want to say that I think that in the Bible, when it tells us that God created Eve for Adam as his wife, that that's all the proof we need that God did not, that polygamy is a sin, because God did not give Adam two wives. He also didn't give him, there was not two men presented to be married, and there was not any other type of aberrations, like God never advocated children to be used or improperly. And and whenever there's abuse going on, I feel it's Christian responsibility to intervene, much like you try to do. And also, I would just add as a footnote that as a Christian, our responsibility is also to hate the sin, but not the sinner.
Right. You're right, Ken, and I like what you're saying here. It's absolutely true. If we believe the Bible, and Christians do, true Christians believe the Bible cover to cover, we know that from just the story of Adam and Eve alone, that polygamy is not something that God has wanted from the beginning. So, I agree with you, and thank you for calling in and giving us your opinion.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay. We thought we had a call on line 3, but I don't see anyone there, so I'll wait for Jeff from Nephi. He isn't there. I got an email also last week from Charlie, and he was talking about gods, goddesses, and eternal pregnancies. So I thought I'd bring this up. He said, I want to know, and you alluded to this last night, and last week I did vaguely mention something about this this belief that the early Mormonism had. Some of them still have it. He said, was this whole earth populated by one mother god or goddess? So this Papa God has multi-wives and has his billions of kids from every one of them. These physical beings keep up with the birth rates on all these planets. I don't get it. Well, no one else does either, Charlie. Don't feel bad. But first of all, they don't say that these celestial marriages that are taking place and all this celestial polygamy is by physical bodies. They believe that they're by their spiritual bodies, and so they're able to have eternal pregnancy. But I would like to read a couple of quotes to answer your question so that maybe it'll help you understand. This is from the Mormon book, Achieving a Celestial Marriage, page 132. And it says, our Father in heaven was once a man, as we are now, capable of physical death. By obedience to eternal gospel principles, he progressed from one stage of life to another until he attained the state that we call exaltation or godhood. In such a condition, he and our mother in heaven were empowered to give birth to spirit children whose potential was equal to that of their heavenly parents. We are their spirit children. So you can see right there, they have the teaching in their celestial marriage manual that God is married to a mother in heaven having babies, and that everyone on this planet is a product of this celestial marriage. So the Mormon gods became gods through celestial marriage. And I want to mention here as well that celestial marriage has been redefined. In the days of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, celestial marriage was polygamy. It was not just a temple ceremony and eternal sealing. It was polygamy. You can look back, check it out. Just look back. You can find it. It was a mandatory Mormon ordinance, and some Mormon authorities even insisted that Jesus and God both were polygamous, each having a wife, and each wife is the mother of the population of all the planets that this God is God of. Now, our esteemed Bruce R. McConkie said, this doctrine that there is a mother in heaven was affirmed in plainness by the first presidency when, in speaking of preexistence and the origin of man, they said that man was a spirit and begotten and born of heavenly parents, that man is the offspring of celestial parentage, and that all men and women are in the similitude of the universal father and mother in heaven. They are literally the sons and daughters of deity. This, by the way, is blasphemy. It absolutely is not true. Early Mormon doctrine of the eternal progression includes celestial polygamy, celestial pregnancies, eternal increase, which they call eternal lives. Doesn't sound much like heaven to me. Do you want to be pregnant for eternity? And you know what? I've been trying to find this quote, and I haven't been able to locate it yet, but I've read it in the past. I'll find it, and then I'm going to do a whole show on this subject right here. But the quote was that somebody had asked, I think it was Brigham Young, but I'm not positive, asked him how long the pregnancies were for a spiritual mother to be pregnant. And he said it's much like the gestation period is much like it is here, about 9 months. So there you go. Billions and billions of babies. 9 months per child. Good grief. I hope she had a lot of twins. Let's see. Let's look at Jeff from Nephi. Oh, we have him here on line one. Hello, Jeff.
Yes,
you're on the air.
Okay,
you're on the air. Have you turned your TV down?
Yes.
Turn it down, please.
I was just thinking, you know, I've been listening to what you're saying, and I think that polygamy is absolutely disgusting. I can't believe that these men can get away with marrying these young girls, and our government is not doing anything about it. We arrest child molesters every day in this country, and I don't understand why they're not going after these people.
Well, you know, Jeff, it's kind of gotten out of hand now. It'd be almost impossible to pull all of the polygamists and put them all in jail. Our court couldn't handle it. Our prisons couldn't handle it. But the answer, of course, as far as we're concerned, and that's one reason we're doing this program, is that if we can educate the polygamists to know, to understand, and believe that polygamy is not required for celestial glory, perhaps they'll just drop away from doing it.
That would be fantastic. But I believe the men that are involved with these young women do need to be prosecuted.
Well, I guess maybe some of the citizens ought to get together and start letting their voice be heard then.
They should. Mm-hmm. And also, one more thing I was thinking is, in the Bible, Joseph Smith seen the angel Moroni as an angel of light, and in the Bible it says that even Satan can appear as an angel of light, and I think it's exactly where that came from.
Well, there's certainly a lot of speculation on who that angel of light was that he saw, and we do know that we have to stick with the Bible and what it says, or we're going to be terribly deceived.
That's right. That is exactly right. I just wanted to weigh in on that, and hopefully people can rise up and try to put a stop to this.
That would be nice. I think so. For the sake of the kids and the women who are duped and deceived into believing that they have to do this to get to heaven to please God.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeff.
All we need to do is ask for him to come into our lives, and I believe he will take care of us from there.
Well, that's faith, salvation by faith, through by grace through faith. That's what the Bible teaches.
Okay, and that's about all I got to say. So.
Well, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
You
appreciate
bet.
Hearing from you. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we've had three or four calls giving us their opinion of this news article about Winston Blackmore. Do you think that polygamy should be put on the pedestal or dumped into the garbage can of history? What do you think about it? Let's hear from some polygamists. Maybe an ex-polygamist or somebody who, maybe a polygamous woman who's home alone tonight with all of her kids. Perhaps you'd like to call in and weigh in on this question. Okay, we have a call on line 3. Mark from Salt Lake City. Hello, Mark.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air, Mark.
Hi.
Is your TV turned down?
Yeah, it's down. No. I have a question.
Okay.
You said we don't have to work for our salvation.
That's right.
Does that mean you're saying that if you're a murderer or you commit adultery, then you'll be saved as long as you believe at the end of your life?
As long as we what?
That as long as we have faith at the end of our life, you say we'll be saved. Does that mean you can murder someone and you'll be saved?
It means that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of our sins. And if we are truly repentant of our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us, ask God to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness, and truly repent, and repentant means that we turn and go the direction of God rather than our own way. If we do that, it doesn't matter what our sins were. God says He will wash them away and remember them no more. So yes, if you were a murderer and you repented, yes, you could be saved.
Okay, I don't believe that.
Why?
Because you cannot murder someone and not be saved for it.
You're not saved because you murdered someone. You're saved in spite of it. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Now, would He just die for some sins and not all of them? And what does the word all mean? We're told in Colossians that all of our sins were forgiven when we come to Jesus Christ in repentance. There's nothing that separates one sin from another. All are sins. All are bad to God.
I'm in a polygamous group right now, and I support it 100%.
Oh, okay. Do you mind telling us which group it is? I mean, you don't have to, of course, but I just wondered if you'd want to tell us.
I'm fine. I don't need to.
Okay, that's fine. Well, why don't you believe that God's grace, that God's love, can't cover the sin of murder?
Because it says that I guess you don't even believe in the 3 degrees of glory, do you?
No, the Bible doesn't teach that. I don't believe it if it's not in the Bible.
All right. Okay, I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Okay, there's only one place in heaven. There's only one heaven to go to. And there's only one place there. It's not separated or divided out for better, and best people.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I have some material if you'd like to get. I have a book on polygamy. It's Polygamy Biblical. If you'd like any of the material, you could just leave your mailing address. I'd be happy to send it to you.
I'm fine. And for that guy that just called in before me, everyone that's getting married is over 18, so it's by their own choice, so you can just calm down.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. You need to speak up.
As for that guy that called just before me?
Uh-huh.
I said that guy that called just before me, he said that he's disgusted by the young girls. These girls are all over 18. Just for his information.
Okay, well, whoever you've married, I hope and pray that they are over 18, but there are many incidences where children are underage, girls are underage when they get married. It's kind of dying away a little bit now because of the El Dorado mess, but still, some of these things still go on, and it isn't right. And I want you to know, Mark, that God does not require polygamy for you to go to heaven. Jesus died for your sins. You do not need to live polygamy to get there. It doesn't please God.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark, for calling. Bye. Okay, we have Joe calling on line 2. Hello, Joe. Hello.
Yes, Doris.
Yes.
I wanted to make a comment about law versus grace.
Yes.
I really, you know, when you think of it, when it goes back to the Garden of Eden, that was really the same old lie that was told in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Because when you think of Cain coming forth with the works of his own labor.
Yep.
And when you think of Abel bringing the lamb, and as you go a little further down in history, you see the building of the Tower of Babel, and they were trying to work themselves to heaven in the building of that tower. And you know, if Nicodemus in the New Testament came to Christ by night, he'd already been doing works.
Yes.
He was a leader in the Jewish community.
Right.
And so if he had, why did Jesus tell him he needed something else? He needed grace.
He needed to be born again.
He needed to be born again.
Right.
And another thing is that if we're saved by our works, then Jesus would have had to have come, because the people throughout the generations were all trying to work themselves to death.
That's right. And in fact, that's what the Bible proves, is it that we cannot work ourselves into pleasing God. And you are absolutely right. If we could be saved by works, Jesus died in vain. That's the message of Galatians.
And another thing that I was thinking of, too, is when you have a works type of salvation, people are usually in great depression. They can never, they're always trying to perform, outward performance.
Mm-hmm.
And grace is an inward work.
Yes.
And it works from inside out.
And the grace is an awesome thing to know when you have sinned and you know that you can go to God and ask for forgiveness, and He will, by His grace, forgive you.
Another thing that I thought was so interesting, too, is that when you truly find grace and the burden is lifted from your heart, you really are able to do what's asked of you, not because you have to, but because you are so genuinely in love with Jesus and have a love affair with Him that you really want to do what He asks you to do. But that's not the basis of our salvation.
That's right. The salvation comes by grace through faith. The works come afterwards, and not to get any merit with God. He already loves us. He loves you no more today than He did yesterday. He loves you no more tomorrow than He does today. His love is constant, and it is unconditional.
Could I make one more comment?
Okay, make it quick, please. We have some more calls coming in.
I just wanted to, in reference to the idea of murder.
Uh-huh.
In reference to the idea that a person, the caller said that a person could not be saved if they committed murder.
Right.
David committed murder.
They don't believe that he was saved. Yeah, they don't believe he was, though.
And also, not only that, Saul, who later became Paul, committed slaughtering against the church.
Uh-huh.
And he is saved.
And we have a notice on the screen right now that Moses also was a murderer, and we know that he's in heaven. The Bible tells us he is.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us David is too, by the way. So you're right. You've got some good points there. The Bible's clear.
1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he will cleanse us from all sin.
Right.
And sin is the transgression of the law, and murder is one of those laws.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for calling. We appreciate your input. It's very good. Okay, we have Dario calling from Salt Lake City. Hello, Dario?
Yep.
Yes, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Doris.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your question?
Oh, well, just a comment. And the fact that you mentioned a couple of times, you know, that polygamy is not required to go to heaven, and I totally agree with that. And I was wondering, when you said that, like, who teaches that? Those polygamists.
Who teaches it? Is that your question?
Uh-huh.
Well, the polygamy groups teach it to their members. That polygamy is required.
That.
What?
Who is behind that? I mean, you said that is being taught by the polygamist groups or leaders, you know?
Well, it started with Joseph Smith when he got his revelation to practice polygamy. He claimed that God taught, and Brigham Young says the same thing, and so did the others, that if you didn't practice polygamy, you would be damned.
Okay, are you implying that the LDS Church is behind it?
When the LDS Church first started, yes. Joseph Smith was the starter. He was the originator of the Mormon Church, and he's the one who said that originally.
I see.
And so did Brigham Young.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't, like, they have stopped with that. So, I mean, from that point on, I mean, all those polygamists, I mean, they don't belong to the church, I mean, the LDS church, right?
No, they're living fundamental LDS Mormon beliefs. They're living the Mormon religion as it was invented by Joseph Smith and brought on by Brigham Young, John Taylor, and the rest of them. They're living basic fundamental Mormonism.
I respect you, and I think, you know, like, to say that somebody invented a church, like you just said, you know, that Joseph Smith invented that church, well, I don't think that's, you know, it's a little bit unrespectful to those people that, you know, believe in that church, you know? And I think I totally agree with what you say, you know, that polygamy is not required and da da da. But I think they have to be, you know, differentiated. You know,
but
that people that live that stuff today, they're not part of the LDS Church.
Dario, Joseph Smith said if someone didn't practice polygamy, they would be damned. Brigham Young said the same thing.
Yeah, why did they stop that?
Wilford Woodruff and John Taylor.
It's not required today in the LDS Church, is it?
What?
It's not required to be, you know, LDS.
Not now, no. But it was the LDS Church that brought it here and started it.
What I mean. I mean, it has to be, you know, very clear to the public that is watching this, you know, that by saying that, we're not implying that the LDS Church is behind polygamy, because it's not.
they're not behind polygamy today, but they still steal multiple wives to men in the temple, and they still believe in celestial polygamy. They still believe that it's going to come back during the millennium. They believe.
In this program,
we continually exhort our viewers to check things out. And that's what I'm going to tell you to do. Get into your history, not the Clorox version, but get into your real history, and you'll find out some things that will blow you away, and that will be one of them.
Would you like to give me some references so I can look it up?
You can start with utlm.org.
UTLM.org.
Yeah,
okay.
And start reading all the material there. And don't go away in disgust, but just read it, because you're going to find some information that's totally true history.
Who wrote that, the UTLM?
You just go on the internet at UTLM.org, and you'll find as much information and more than you'll...
Who is the author of that information?
You can get onto the internet, please. I've got other calls coming in. All the information that you need to know to answer your questions is there.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
You too. Good night. Okay, line 3, Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to really let you know that I appreciate the program that you're putting on. My husband was a former LDS member. Half of my family is LDS, the other half is Baptist, and I'm really impressed with the program. I really agree with a lot of what you're saying, and I just wanted to let you know that I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
Thank you, Jennifer.
That you're bringing out all this information that needs to be addressed, like polygamy and the celestial kingdoms and how there's only one heaven, and I think it's things that need to be brought out, and as far as like Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, as far as being the founders of the church,
mm-hmm.
and how even though they don't practice polygamy currently, it was the foundation of
right.
their church.
Absolutely. And you know, Jennifer, in July, we have two different guests coming in two separate weeks in July. And each of these guests, they don't know each other, but they have been so helped by this program. They have come from an LDS background, and they have been so helped by this program, we've invited to come on and tell their story. So I hope you'll watch it, because they basically have been helped like you're talking, and we appreciate your phone call.
Oh, I definitely will. I hope that I can get the other part of my family that is LDS to listen to this. My mother-in-law is also LDS, and so it's very important, because I feel like they're in denial.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
They just won't check it out. They just refuse to check it out, and it's to their own detriment that they won't do it. Well, I've got a couple of other calls. We're coming to the end of the program, and I want to get these calls in, so I better go for it.
Okay, well, I just wanted to let you know that I am really happy with your program and what you're doing, and I appreciate it.
And thank you. I appreciate your call. Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wanda from Hiawatha. Hello, Wanda.
Hello?
Hello, Wanda. You're on the air.
Hi.
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 Is your TV down?
Huh?
Is your TV turned down?
Hey.
Turn your TV down, Wanda.
Hey, I'm just calling.
Okay, you're on the air, Wanda.
Oh. Okay. No, I was just calling because I grew up in a polygamous area.
In the polygamy group?
No, just that a lot of my friends were in the families, and I just think it messes up the kids' life, and because with all the different wives and all of the different kids, it's really confusing for them. And with me not being a polygamous family, it was interesting to watch them grow up.
Mm-hmm. And I was raised in a polygamy group, and I'm here to tell you, it can mess with your head pretty badly. And I know some people that it really has some long-term effects on. It isn't good. They can call it good. They can say they're happy. They can say that they're living righteous lives. But it's not the way God planned it to be.
Yeah, and I think that in the Bible, it just, you know, when you find the right person for you, then it's the right person. You wouldn't want to have several different wives.
Several right persons, huh? Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Wanda.
Thanks for your time.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. Good night. Okay, we have Pat from Salt Lake City. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, Doris.
Yes.
The word polygamy is not even mentioned in the Bible. And it was how it got started. Well, it was through, I believe, Cain's relative, four generations down, Lamech, I think he took on two wives.
Mm-hmm. Lamech, yeah.
And that's he's the one that started it. Was
right.
Not ever ordained by God.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And you're doing a fantastic job, and the keep up the good work, Doris.
Well, thank you, Pat, for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. And Pat is right, the word polygamy is not mentioned in the Bible, the word itself. However, polygamy, the practice of polygamy, is in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. And people who don't understand how to read the scriptures or how to apply it will continue to say that it is an historical event and therefore it is something that we should be doing. That absolutely is not true. And we were going to do another Bible study tonight on polygamy, but of course we didn't get to it. We'll have to say that for another night. And that was the story of Esau and his polygamy, and then we were going to go into Jacob and his polygamy, but we'll have to save that for another night. We are getting towards the end of the program again, and we want to thank all of you who called in and answered the question whether or not we should put up with Blackmore, and if polygamy is a human rights issue or if it's an equality, women's equality issue. But I want to thank all of you who called in and answered. In the closing comments tonight, I would again like to mention how amazing it is that even though we continue to warn people over and over again, as other people have warned, that God has commanded that we check out all things pertaining to your salvation. If you were in a room with several different people and an emergency telephone call came in warning that someone in that room had been planted with an exploded bomb and it was going to go off in 5 minutes, wouldn't you, as well as everyone else in that room, start checking your own personal items to find out whether or not you had been planted with that explosive? You would check your purse, your wallet, your sacks, your pockets, everything to see if you had it, to make sure that you were able to find it and get rid of it. And yet your eternity is infinitely more important than your life in here, and you won't check out to see if the doctrines that you believe will send you to hell or into heaven. Why? Why won't you do that? Jesus said that if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. What did He mean when He said, I am He? He meant that He was God Almighty. Now, I know most of you believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers, but that's not what God meant. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the only God. He came and died on the cross for our sins. He dwelt among us. He saved us from our sins by dying on the cross. And if you don't believe that, and if you expect Lucifer's brother to save you, you're in for a bad surprise on Judgment Day. And we are told that today is the day of salvation. We want you to know tomorrow is not guaranteed for anyone. We want to thank you for joining us. We hope to see you next week. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Mm-hmm.